الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق ونودوا أن تلكم الجنة ورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون. الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا السراج المنير المصطفى الأمجد أبو القاسم محمد.
الله صلى الله
طيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. So there is a famous hadith and this is mentioned by all of the schools of thought. So the prophet once was talking to a congregation, to a group of his of the Muslims, and he was saying the following. He says, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum." And then he points here to his chest. So what does this hadith mean? He says, "Inna Allah la yanzur," meaning Allah doesn't look at your physical appearance, nor does Allah look at, your wealth. But rather the thing that Allah, the currency that really counts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qulubikum, your hearts, and a'malikum, and your actions. And then he points to the chest, meaning implying that the heart is located here. Now, of course, as we all know, this is really just amplifying or echoing what the Qur'an says. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the Day of Judgment, neither wealth nor offspring are helpful. The only one who really benefits is the one who comes with a firm, a steadfast heart, a pure heart, قَلْبٌ سَلِيمٌ. And so this is a important discussion. And I wanted to mention this discussion tonight for several reasons. The heart is a thing that many of us have heard about, but maybe very few of us really reflect on the importance of the heart. So I wanted to talk about it because, as you can see from the hadith and the Quran, the heart is really the ultimate currency that enables an individual to succeed both in this life and in the hereafter. It's the currency that's taken in both sides of the world, the qalb. Nothing else is really accepted. So it's like when you travel, you know, you have to exchange currency. The currency between this world and the hereafter is really the status of your heart. So that's the first important thing. Second reason why we're talking about the heart is, as many of you know, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And you can see many of these hearts all over the place. If you go to the convenience store, you'll see cards that have hearts. And it's really interesting because the heart is the organ that oftentimes people identify with the emotion of love. So, for example, many of the terms that we use, like in English, the term sweetheart, you know, meaning my sweetheart. In Arabic and in Iraq, we say Habib at Galbi, you know, right? My the sweetheart, love of my life. In Lebanon, they say Habib at Elbi, right? A little different. I know the Iranians, they prefer the liver. They don't, they say chicken. So that's a difference between the, I think, the Arabs and the non-Arabs. The Arabs prefer the qalb, the Iranians prefer the liver. But so the point is that the heart is really an organ that everyone really identifies with. And, you know, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that people talk about the heart. But then the third and most important reason is really, if you look, you know, there's a famous hadith that everything has a heart, and the heart of the Quran is Surah Yasin. Likewise, if we use this analogy, the heart of Islam, I would argue, is Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Because Fatima al-Zahra is the individual that really connects the imam, the imama, and the nubuwa. She's the lifeblood that really pumps and enables Islam to thrive and survive. It's because of Fatima al-Zahra. And today we're celebrating her life. So having said all of that, I'm going to divide today's talk into four major parts. In the first part, I wanted to talk about the physical heart. Why is it important? And in the second part, I'm going to talk about the spiritual heart, because if we understand the physical heart, we'll be better able to understand the spiritual heart. And then in the third part, I wanted to talk about the ultimate cure for the heart, both the spiritual and the physical. You know, the leading cause of death in the world today is cardiovascular disease. More people globally die from cardiovascular disease than anything else. And we've had a lot of really great medicines like Lipitor and some of these biologics, but really the ultimate cure for heart disease, we'll talk about that. And in the fourth part, we'll link it to Fatima Tazara. But first, please recite the last salawat. So the physical heart, it goes without saying, is really a remarkable organ. If you think about it, physical heart is important for many reasons. It's really the first organ that's formed. And if any of you have children, you'll know that when you go for a sonogram, the way that they identify whether you have a living child or not is really by the heartbeats, which oftentimes start 18 to 21 days after conception. And if you think about it, it's really remarkable that the heart is the first organ that starts independent of the brain formation. And in fact, we've learned a great deal about the physical heart. You look at the physical heart, we know, for example, it beats over 100,000 times a day, 100 gallons per hour, without any thinking, over 2 billion beats in a lifetime. And it really pumps blood to a distance, and all of you have heard this, I mean many scientists in here, the distance that the blood flow goes is roughly the equivalent of 60,000 miles or 100,000 kilometers. If you take all of the capillaries, the nerves, the arteries, the veins, if you lay them out end to end, it's 60,000 miles. It's a really a remarkable feat that the heart is able to do this from inception, and we've now really come to appreciate that the heart, also contains neurons. So there's something like 40,000 neurons which are typically identified as the cells of the brain. In fact, that the heart has its own nervous system, which is independent of the brain's nervous system. So independent nervous system, these ganglia, which are really collections of neurons. So the heart, ultimately, in terms of physical life and physical well-being, is the ultimate organ that enables life to thrive and survive. In fact, even if you look at the definition of death, the vast majority of the scholars of Ahlul Bayt define death not as the cessation of brain activity or brain death, but rather they define it as the cessation of heart activity, or really the definition of no heart. So, it's interesting when you think about it, because many people don't take good care of their hearts. And this is reflected, as I mentioned, in the statistics. If you look at it globally, heart disease is the leading cause of death, and combined with stroke, which is, as you know, is often due to a inability of the blood to reach the brain. So you can almost pair the two together. So these are the leading causes of death worldwide, followed by some of these other diseases. And the heart is important because really it connects the brain and all of the other organs. And actually, we've gotten to appreciate that really that there's active communication between the heart and the brain. So it's not a one-way street where the brain sends nerve or signals to the heart, but rather it's a two-way communication. So if the heart is feeling something, it'll send that signal to the brain, which will enable it to feel something, and vice versa. It's a constant communication. It's not a one-way street where the heart sends where the brain sends the signal to the heart, and then the heart has to listen to it. It's rather an active dialogue. So I bring all of this up because this is really to understand the spiritual heart, which is the qalb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. You need to first and foremost understand the importance of the physical heart, because the spiritual heart is really a mirror into the reality of the spiritual heart. If you understand the physical heart, you'll be able to understand the spiritual heart, which is unseen. And if you understand the spiritual heart, it has a direct impact on the well-being of your physical heart. You see, these things are interconnected, and we're getting to appreciate this connection more and more as the evidence and the modern scientific evidence emerges. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
But so what is the spiritual heart? So before we get into the purpose of the spiritual heart, or the qalb, which is, you know, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge, qalb salim. First, I wanted to tell you this really beautiful tradition. I wanted to share with you this beautiful tradition, which actually I was able to find in Bihar al-Anwar, the famous book of narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, and in the books of our fellow brother Sunni. So this tradition can be found in both major schools. So this is an exchange between Prophet Dawood, Prophet David, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's captured in this tradition. And the tradition goes as follows. Prophet Dawood was asking Allah, "O Allah, all the emperors, they possess a treasure. So where is your treasure?" So this is Prophet Dawood asking Allah, "Where is your treasure?" So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, "I possess a treasure which is greater than the sky, vaster than the heavens, smells better than the perfumes of paradise, and is more beautiful than the heavens, than the kingdoms. Its earth is enlightenment, its sky is belief, its sun is enthusiasm, its moon is love." And the hadith goes on, and you know, it's a long hadith. And he concludes by saying, you know, describing the treasure. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ala wahiya al-qalb." And my treasure is the heart, you see. So the treasure of Allah, the kingdom of Allah, according to this really beautiful narration, can be found in the heart of humanity, in the heart of creation. So, if, for example, when you want to understand how powerful the king is, you say, "Well, how much property, how much land does this king have?" See, Rabbul Alameen, Malik al-Mulk, he controls the entire destiny, but the most prized treasure of Allah is the qalb, or the heart, especially the heart of the mu'min. So why is that? We'll go into it, but first please recite a lot of salawat. Because the heart is first and foremost, it's the center of iman and understanding. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah 50, Ayah 37, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ. Verily in this is a remembrance for those who have a qalb, or have a heart. Meaning the heart is really the organ by which we're able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually reflected in the story of Prophet Ibrahim. When I'm saying about the heart as being the organ of connecting to Allah, all of you know the story of Prophet Ibrahim. He wanted to see how is it that Allah is able to bring the dead back alive. So he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. He says, "Oh my Allah, oh Allah, show me, how will you bring back to life the dead?" قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنُ. Allah is asking Prophet Ibrahim, "Do you not believe?" أَوَلَوْ تُؤْمِنُ. قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Says, "Yes, I believe, but I want my heart to have firm faith." This is Prophet Ibrahim. So then the story goes that Prophet Ibrahim splits the bird, puts it into four different locations, and this bird is able to come together. The point is that the heart, even the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, required something, because intellectually Prophet Ibrahim believed in Allah. He's a prophet of Allah. But spiritually, the heart needed that heart to really confirm, وَلِيُطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, so that I may have full confirmation, full validation, independent validation as if you're doing an experiment, you don't just do it one time, but you need to do it multiple times using different methods to make sure that what you have is the reality. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, according to Prophet Ibrahim. So the importance of the heart is that first and foremost, it's really the center of iman and understanding. And really, if you want to connect to Allah, it's only done through the heart. That's really the organ that enables you to fully connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a beautiful hadith, he says, Al-Qulub Thalatha. He says there's three types of hearts. Meaning he classifies that the heart and the diseases of the heart are an outcome of the type of the heart. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Al-Qulub Thalatha. قَلْبٌ مَنْكُوسُ لَا يَعْتَبِرْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْغَيْرِ وَهُوَ قَلْبِ الْكَافِرِ. It says first there's the reversed heart, meaning it's upside down. It's sort of in a bad position, reversed heart, which lacks feelings for any sort of righteous deeds. Such a heart is the heart of an unbeliever. So قَلْبٌ مَنْكُوسُ. It says the second heart is the heart which contains a black spot, in which a war is being waged between the truth and falsehood, and whichever becomes victorious will take over the heart's control. So this is an interesting sort of analogy, that the heart contains a black spot that then spreads, and it's a battle between the right and the uncorrect. So and then he says, so then فَالْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرِ يَتَعَالَجَانَ فَمَا كَانُوا مِنْهُ أَقْوَى غُلِبَ عَلَيْهِ. So he says, whoever is victorious will take over the heart's control. Then the third type of heart, وَقَلْبٌ مَفْتُوحٌ فِيهِ مِصْبَاحُ يُزْهِرُ, says the conquered heart in which there is a lighted lamp which is never going to be turned off. Such is the heart of a believer. So the heart of a believer is the light, is the heart that is continuously glowing, that never gets turned off. So these are the three types of heart. You have a spectrum. So on the furthest spectrum, you have a heart that's just completely mispositioned and misplaced. Mankus, meaning it's completely in a bad position, and so it really can't connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have a heart which is positioned in the right position, but it just has maybe some contamination. And that contamination, as you know, with the recent outbreak of the coronavirus, if you're unable to quarantine that virus, it spreads and it becomes a global pandemic. That's the same thing with this black spot. So the black spot is within the heart. If you're unable to contain that black spot and eliminate it, it takes over and it leads to the first type of heart. And then the third type of heart is the heart which is not affected, which is the heart which is constantly glowing and filled with light. So the question naturally arises, well, how do we attain this third type of heart? And what is it, how can we avoid the diseases of the heart that prevent us from having the first and second heart, which is the upside down heart, the heart with the black spot? And how can we attain this luminous heart, this glowing heart that really illuminates and glows until the day of judgment? We'll discuss that, but first please recite a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli.
So the solution actually comes from Luqman. As all of you know, Luqman was not a prophet, he wasn't an imam, but he was a wise man. The only individual, lay person, that has a surah named after them. So there's a reason that Allah has named a surah after Luqman. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave Luqman the wisdom. What is the wisdom that Luqman had? And remember, Luqman wasn't a knowledgeable, he wasn't an educated person by the modern definition of education. Meaning he had no special training, he had no special education, he had no letters after his name. It wasn't Luqman PhD or Luqman MS or Luqman You know, there's so many letters these days. Every day, you see more letters. But it was, what was it about Luqman? وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَ لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. The hikmah, or the wisdom of Luqman, is that Allah told him gratitude. اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. صلوات. And in fact, this is really the ultimate solution for the diseases of the heart. In that gratitude or thankfulness, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We gave mankind one of two options. Either they are grateful, shakir, or they are ungrateful, kafir, kafura, meaning the word kafara, which means to hide, derives from the fact that you're ungrateful. Shakiran wa imma kafura. So, you know, here the concept is that gratitude is really the key to having a stable heart, and in fact is the key to really connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a really interesting insight that Luqman had many years ago. And actually I wanted to share with you, you know, some of the recent work that really sort of validates some of the sayings of Luqman and this concept of gratitude. And again, I want to remind you of the link between the brain and the heart. So remember, it's a two-way dialogue. So the brain reacts to what the heart is feeling, and the heart reacts to what the brain is feeling. This mind-brain connection is a connection which is being you know, more studied and more appreciated these days. So that whatever the heart feels has an immediate impact on the brain, and whatever the brain feels has an impact on the heart. So why is that important? There's this concept called the variable heart rate. So many of you, if you have wearables, you know that one of the metrics that it measures is something called VHR, or variable heart rate, which is essentially heartbeats over time. So you have heartbeats and they're measured over time, and that's a readout that many times, if you have like the Apple Watch or one of these other, you know, Fitbit or, you know, one of these other things, you'll see that's one of the readouts. That's what this is. This looks like. And we know that the variable heart rate is impacted by emotions. So for example, when someone is feeling anger, you see that the variable heart rate is all over the place, right? Whereas when someone is feeling relaxation, you get a more stable heart rate, variable heart rate, but it's still, you have periods of asynchronous sort of beating, meaning it's not a constant beat. So there is one emotion that that we know that leads to a stable heart, sort of variable heart rate. And that emotion is the emotion of appreciation or gratitude. So you see, compared to the to anger, which is all over the place, or a relaxation, which again has really sort of ups and downs. I mean, you know, you have peaks of stability, but then all of a sudden up, and then, you know. So it's less stable. We know for a fact that appreciation or gratitude is the emotion or the feeling that enables the heart physically to attain a state of tranquility. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. The قلب سليم, this heart which is in a really in a whole state, in a state of peace or submission, is oftentimes reflected by this attitude of gratitude. إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. So really, the key to a successful life and a successful state of the heart is a state of gratitude. Allah, there's a beautiful hadith. Actually, before I go into that, so this is all anecdotal data, but actually, it's really interesting. You know, they've done a few randomized, double-blind control trials where they look at the impact of gratitude and appreciation on the heart condition. And this is one that I'd like to share with you. This is from a few years ago, where what they did is they took two groups of patients that had stage B heart failure, and they gave one of the groups of patients just normal standard of care, and the other one, in addition to the normal standard of care, they made them write a gratitude journal. So what am I thankful for? I'm thankful for this, this, and this every day. And they found that the experimental arm, the arm that was doing the gratitude journal, was the one that actually experienced significant reduction in some of these inflammatory biomarkers and some of these other negative outputs. So again, this is a small trial, about 70 patients. But Harvard School of the Department of Psychology, they had another follow-up study to this about 2 years ago. And the point is that this concept of gratitude has a real payoff for the physical heart, and I would say the spiritual heart. يَوْمَدَيْ يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ صَلَوَاتٍ
اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍ.
So, the question becomes, with Luqman, the ayah was, concept is that be grateful, to show your gratitude to Allah, you have to show your gratitude to the closest representatives of Allah in your life who happen to be your parents. And in fact, if you extend it even further, the many hadiths, but one of the famous hadiths is, لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَا يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ. The whoever is not thankful to the people is not thankful to Allah. So you see, it's a connection. It's not just being thankful to Allah, but the way that you show your thankfulness to Allah is by being thankful to the people. And by always showing a great attitude of being grateful and thankful. And you can feel it in yourself as well, in your own personal life. You probably have conversations on a daily basis with many people. There are certain people that you enjoy having conversations with more than other people. Some people, when you meet with them, say, how's your day going? Oh, well, it's raining outside. I don't have an umbrella. Okay, but your work is going well, right? I mean, you have a new position. Yeah, but too much work, horrible. Yeah, but you have a new apartment, right? The apartment's nice. Yeah, but, I have to commute 50 minutes. Like, everything is negative, right? And you never want to be with these people. Then some people, they have nothing. When you talk with them, oh, alhamdulillah, I'm really blessed to be alive, or I'm grateful to be alive. We as humans, our hearts gravitate to the person who's thankful. We all of us have our own problems. We don't want to hear the problems of other people necessarily. All of us are dealing with certain things. You don't want to hear about, the other day, for example, I have a colleague who just bought a Tesla. So a Tesla, nice car. So wow, congratulations, it's a really good car. Said, yeah, but on cold days it doesn't work properly. The battery doesn't, it's very slow. It doesn't turn on quickly. I said, well, why did you buy a Tesla in Boston? Like, that's your mistake. But, anyway. So do I. So, some people, they deal with this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ نَشْكُرْ لِي وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ نَشْكُرْ لِي وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. So we gave Luqman the wisdom of being thankful and grateful, and that's really the highest form of wisdom. So how does that link to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? So Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam on many levels, she represented the ideal grateful heart. So all of us know the famous story of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, when she goes to her father and she asks for some help, maybe a servant, maybe a maid, to help out with some of the housekeeping, you know, around the house. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives her the ultimate. He says, you know, no servant, no help, but I'll give you something which is greater, which is the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. 34 times, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the most high, the most great. Subhanallah, glory to Allah, and Alhamdulillah, praise and glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate real gift to humanity. In fact, Imam Muhammad al-Bakr alayhi salam says this is really the ideal form of worship or connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra. And because it's through the you know, remembrance of Allah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, that really the heart is able to become calm. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. I often find myself after salat, when I really focus on doing the tasbih, you know, not just quickly, but when you step back and actually do it in a very intentional and a very conscious way, you feel really at ease and relaxed compared to if you're doing the salat, you know, if you're rushed and you just do the tasbih, subhanAllah, 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 you know, you don't really feel the same thing. But really it's beautiful when you do have that moment, when you do have that extended period of time to really use it and really go deep into the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra, because you'll notice immediately this really calming effect on the heart, and this really soothing and really feeling of gratitude when you finish it. So I would say ultimately that's the greatest gift of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. But also the life of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, where you notice that at, you know, through many periods of difficulty, she always maintained this spirit of optimism, where she was connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, as all of you know, the famous nickname, Ummi Abiha, the mother of her father, and the other, sort of really honorific is that she's the mother of the imams. So when Fatima al-Zahra was tragically martyred at the age of 18, really that was the death or the end of the heart of Islam, because Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was the individual that really enabled Islam to really be pumped full of blood and life. But the great gift of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam is that she's given us this gift of the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, where, you know, it's really the best way to enable the heart to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the imams and according to practice. So to conclude, I wanted to you know, just mention a few of the passages from the speech of Fatima al-Zahra from Fadak. And here she's talking about rituals. So she's talking about the objective of each of these a'mal, you know, salat, sawm, hajj. And I think she, even, you know, for each of these a'mal, she beautifully and succinctly describes the objective and the purpose in just a few words. So she says, فَجَعَلَ اللَّهَ الْإِيمَانَ تَطْهِيرًا لَكُمْ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. Allah made the faith for you as a purity from infidelity or, you know, associating partners. وَالصَّلَاةَ تَنْزِيهًا لَكُمْ عَنِ الْكِرْكِ. And made salat as a purification from conceit. Was zakat tazkiyat al-nafs wa nama'a fil rizq. And zakat as purification of the self and growth in Allah's bounty. And rendered fasting to affirm your sincerity. And Allah set hajj for the reinforcement of the religion. Wal hajj tajdidu al-din. Allah rendered justice for harmonizing of the heart. وَالْعَدْلِ تَنْسِيقًا لِلْقُلُوبِ. So Allah made justice as a way to enable the hearts to connect. So here on the eve of the birth of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, it's really a great opportunity to remind myself and remind all of us about the importance of the heart in our daily life. The heart is really the organ that enables us to connect to Allah, and really the easiest antidote to spiritual heart disease is something which was gifted to us over 1400 years ago from Fatima al-Zahra, which is Tasbih Fatima al-Zahra. You know, oftentimes when you celebrate someone's birthday, you give them a gift. Here on the birthday of Fatima al-Zahra, we remember the gift that she's given us. I mean, this is really a tremendous legacy if you think about it. Oftentimes when you go to a friend's house or someone's house and it's their birthday, you have to bring them a gift, and you know, then maybe they look at it and they say, oh, that's nice. But here, you know, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam has given us the ultimate gift, which is a means and a mode, an opportunity for enabling the heart to connect to Allah and to enable the heart to really be the thing that speaks for all of us on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our hearts like the heart of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, to fill our hearts with the love of Fatima al-Zahra, because it is only through the remembrance of people like Fatima al-Zahra. ذَلِكْ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever elevates and glorifies the symbols of Allah, that's part of the strength, taqwa al-qulub, the remembrance of the hearts. So again, another gift that Fatima al-Zahra has given us, by remembering Fatima, it's enabling our hearts to really attain a state of gratitude and appreciation, and a state of qalb salim. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, you know, part of this followers of Fatima al-Zahra, and to always give us a pure heart. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
اللهم صل على محمد و